Please join me in Psalm chapter number 86. What a beautiful song. Psalm 86. I pray that God will do in your heart in this psalm what he has done in my heart. I just love this psalm. If you write in the back of your Bible, you might write Psalm 86. They give you words to say when you need to express something to God and you just don't have the words to say. This is another psalm of lament. And it does not end as it would start with a cry of plea. It ends with hope, as all the laments that we've looked at so far. If you didn't get a handout, if you raise your hand, I'll get Dylan to run one over to you. Oh, that's why Stephanie thought nobody got them. She didn't get one. Okay. She's like, I see. You think everybody got one? I said, I think so. You didn't tell me you didn't have one. All right. Stephanie needs one. Holly needs one. A few more. Keep your hand. Dylan, come on, man. We got about 50% here. Keep your hands up. Give you a handout that you can follow along with. It's just a psalm with some notes on it. And I want you to look at it, because when we get together, we're looking at God's word. That's where the authority lies. If you want to pretend like you're giving me a compliment but not give me a compliment, when I get done, say, you gave a really good talk tonight. That was really nice what you said, all right? Because that's not what I'm doing up here. I'm not giving nice little talks. I'm supposed to be preaching the word of God. And so this handout will help you see that it is the word of God that we're exposing and we're looking at, and God wants you to understand it. And he wants your joy to be full, and he wants to help you in your fight for joy. And he's going to give you words to say in this psalm. So at the very top, it says, make my heart happy in you. That's how I titled this psalm. When I need to go to God and say a prayer to him, say, God, I need my heart to be happy in you. Don't belittle being happy in here. Don't think that it's not worth pursuing, because God and through his son, Jesus talks a lot about helping his disciples to live out their life in joy. You're supposed to live your life as a joy-filled disciple maker. In our youth ministry, we used to say, what is it that we believe the Bible would call for you to be? And the answer would be a disciple maker. But then we add joy-filled disciple maker, because if you're going to make disciples, you ought to be joy-filled, because it's what God provides for us. So if you'll follow along, last time I talked to you about food, I was telling you the virtues of fasting. I'm going to do the opposite now. How many of you know, Brett, you know about Korean barbecue? Who knows about Korean barbecue in here? If you knew about Korean barbecue before last week and you didn't tell me, what's going on? All right. It's incredible. Somehow they convince you to pay them more money because they bring you the food uncooked. All right. And then they put the food in front of you and they say, you cook it. You know, you'll do a good job. Here, we'll give you a bowl of fire. You can do this. And you're like, oh, thank you. I will pay you more than if you would have just brought me the food fully cooked. And so here I have brought you a meal not fully cooked in front of you. And you're saying, well, that's great, Trent. The sermon's not prepared. Now we give you partially. But I really want you to see where we're all the statements I'm going to make about speaking to God in prayer, where it comes from these psalms. Because it's not good enough that Trent gave a talk tonight. You have to know that the word of God says that we can come to God boldly in these ways. So my prayer is that God would make your heart happy in him and nothing else. That you would lead the night. When we finish the night, when Chris leads us in our last song, you would say, the burdens that I have been handed to him. Those things that I worried about, I will not worry. My future is bright because the Savior King that we just sung about is my eyes are focused on him. So verses 1 and 2. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, which is saying, Father, please listen, because I am in great need. Preserve my soul. Then he's going to give four different reasons why you should preserve his soul. For I am holy. O thou my God, save the servant that trusteth in thee. The reason he is holy is because he is a servant that trusts in the Lord. No righteousness of our own, but preserve my soul, O Lord, because my righteousness, my holiness is found in you. And be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry out to thee daily. God, I'm asking you to be merciful. I'm asking you to preserve me. Here's a memory verse I'd encourage you. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Rejoice my soul, Lord. Make me glad. Lord, I lift my soul. Here is my soul, like in my hand, everything I got. God, take this. I have no other place to put this, but Lord, take this. For thou, Lord, art good and are ready to forgive and are plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord. Repeating verse number 1, bow down thine ear, give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend unto the voice of my supplication. Another way of saying I'm poor and needy. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Great confidence when we go before the Lord. Now we see how this greatness of God is relevant in all matters of life. God, I know when I come to you, you will answer, Because among the gods, verse 8, there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. Seven times throughout the psalm it's saying, O Lord. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. Two reasons are given of the greatness of God in the middle of the prayer that will help center your heart. For thou art great, and thou doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I need instruction. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. God, would you hold me together? The things I'm drifting apart, I feel undone. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forever. For great is thy mercy toward me. Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, this is what the supplication is about. This is the reason he feels poor and needy. This is why he's crying out to God to preserve him. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul and have not set thee before them. But contrast that group of men, that band of men, that arrogant band of men, that assembly of violent men that are going after David. Here's the great contrast. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious and long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thy handmaid. What a beautiful picture. The son of a servant. I'm a servant. My mother was a servant. I was born into slavery. It's just I need strength. I don't have it in myself. I don't have it in my family lineage. I have it in nothing of myself. I'm a servant, and I'm from servants. Show me a token for good, for that which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, has hope in me. And that's a good word we'll talk about soon. Hope in. Hey, Millers, write that down. Maybe another baby name someday, all right? Hope in me. And comforted me, which is show me a token, Lord. Show me your goodness. Not, God, prove yourself. That's not a biblical prayer. But, God, help me see what you're doing and help me recognize your goodness in this world. Heavenly Father, your word is amazing. And, Lord, I am not capable to stand between your word and these people, and so I don't want to. Lord, would you remove me from the night's equation? Would you help my brothers and sisters see you? Lord, would you take hearts in here, Lord, that need to be united and put back together? Would you strengthen my brothers and sisters? Will you help them, Lord, be happy in you? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So in all these psalms of lament, it's addressing God. But it's not just addressing God as we would when we sing a song in the worship and we're addressing God or worshiping him. It's coming with him with a complaint. And we know that crying is human. Lamenting is something that is uniquely Christian, that we can go to God with our brokenness and our heart and the things that are going on and our questions and our complaints. And we can say, God, I come before you poor and needy because this is the situation I'm in and I don't know what to do. And I need your strength. I need you to preserve me because if you don't, it won't be done. And so that's how David comes before the Lord in prayer. And he starts off, bow down thine ear, O Lord, and hear me, I am poor and needy. Then he says, give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer. I remind you, we should never take for granted our access to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for an opportunity to come to you in prayer. Heavenly Father, it's because of the finished work of Jesus Christ that I'm able to enter before you. That's what you say at the end of your prayers. In Jesus' name, I pray. You would say, you're saying, because of the death of Jesus, I am now able to come to you in prayer. How could we ever do anything that ends like that in a like manner? And then we come to our Heavenly Father knowing he's worthy of all honor. Hallowed be thy name. And we could come to him desperately and urgently, and I would say with like a reverential urgency. We cry out to him as Father, as Abba, but we also come to him with honor and respect, and we can come to him with an urgency and say, God, I need you to work, and I need you to work right now, Lord. And we come to him. This is a common way for David to pray. Psalm 4:1, hear me when I call, O God of my righteous. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Psalm 17:6, I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me. O God, incline thine ear unto me and hear my speech. We're reading Psalms. They are songs, but they're also prayers written from David. He's asking God, would you listen to what I have to say? Would you hear my speech? Psalm 27, verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and have mercy also upon me and answer me. So when we come to God, we should be mindful of how wonderful it is to be heard from Him. Nothing more irritating when you have something and you're trying to speak to something. You're trying to speak to someone. I know I've frustrated my kids many times where they're saying, Dad, just listen. I have something I need to tell you, but I'm not paying attention. But our God says that He will listen to us, and we ought to go to Him. And in our prayer, we ought to just say, God, thank you. I need to talk to somebody about this, but only you can give me the real answers. Only you can give me wisdom. You talk to some people and you feel a little bit better, but that's more than available to you. You can feel completely filled with joy because you spoke to your Heavenly Father. So let's not take it for granted. Never forget, unless He hears us, we are without hope, and come to Him with a reverential urgency. And so when we pray like that, it's telling about the position of our heart. Prayer is a matter of your heart. Any of you get confused, I'm not very coordinated. And so sometimes when I leave a drive-through place and I want to pray, I'll start to close my eyes and I realize this is not a good idea. All right. I don't need to close my eyes when I pray. And so you say, well, I know that I don't need to have to be on my knees to pray, but there are times that it calls for being on your knees and laying out on your face. That's certainly what your heart would cause you to do, that your heart would say, this is how you ought to pray right now. But we know we could do that. We can talk to God. John 17, Jesus looks up at the Father and speaks to Him. And so we see that it's not the matter of position of your body, but it's most certainly a matter of your heart. Are you really speaking to Him? And so it said, bow down thine ear. But what did it also say? I'm poor and needy. He said, give ear unto me in the voice of my supplication. In verse number 6 is saying, God, what I have, it will not be fixed unless you fix it. God, the problems that I'm facing, unless I hear from you, then they will not be changed. And so they're bringing a complaint. Identify in a blunt language the specific pain and injustice. Why and how is often part of the complaint. And it read in verse number 14, they identified why they felt bad. They just came out and said it. It's not, God, I'm not feeling good today. God, I feel kind of depressed. God, this or that, and speaking in a general sense. But just coming out and saying exactly what it is. Verse 14, it was, oh God, the proud have risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. David had this many times in his life. This psalm could have been said many times during his life. These people are out to get me, Lord. I am scared of what's going on. I'm fearful of what's going on, Lord. They've risen against me. And here's David just speaking exactly in plain language what's going on. And I would encourage you to do the same. Say, God, search my heart. I know that I'm depressed right now. God, I know that I'm not happy in you as I should be. Would you help me write it down in a sentence? Would you help me identify exactly what is going on? And then when I do, help me just tell it to you, whatever it is. God, I'm worried about finances. God, I'm worried about my family. God, I'm worried about whatever. But just speak it to the Lord and tell Him what's in your heart. God, you have heard these unfair words to me. You know that I've been misunderstood. You know that I'm upset. You know that I'm defensive. You know that I want to strike back with more words. I don't feel like they care. It doesn't end. I don't know what to do. God, I've asked you to sustain me. Now, God, I'm asking that you would restrain me. But speak to God honestly, because it's a position of your heart. And if you can't have an honest conversation with God, it's because you're not being honest with what's going on in your heart. And so listen to your words. Are you just piecing together cliches by other people that have prayed? Or are you talking to God in real language? Recognize to whom you're speaking. God, there's none like thee. Among the gods, there's none like unto thee. Verse number 8. What's one thing about that makes Him different? That when I'm thinking about who I'm speaking of, He's a God there's unlike any other God. Inside of a Hindu temple many years ago, watching them pull the curtains down in Clarkston, they're pulling the curtain because it's the time of day where they're going to offer the fruit to the idols. And as they are about to open up the curtains, where they will see that the fruit is still there, I understand that they don't believe that the idols are going to eat the fruit, but they receive it spiritually. They told me they had one story where one time the fruit disappeared, and it was probably my son or Hudson or Caleb. It was probably one of the kids who ate the fruit that day. And so here they were about to open up the curtain to this idol, and they were going to see that the fruit was there. And before they even opened up that curtain, the group of kids had already got out plates and forks and set it on the table because they knew before the curtain even opened that the fruit would still be there and that they would be able to eat the fruit offered the idols. I don't have a God like that. I don't have a God that I come to and he doesn't pay attention to me. I don't have a God that when I lay something out and the curtain gets pulled back, it's still there. I have a God that every word I speak to him is received by him. I have a God that reaches down in this world and whatever you're praying about, he intervenes and he works. And we pray and we say, God, Brother Doris's granddaughter has a brain tumor and we're wanting you to touch her mind. We're wanting you to touch her brain. We're wanting you to bring healing. And we believe that God works in this world. We say, God, we have problems in our family. We have problems in relationships. We want you to intervene. And he reaches down and he takes the heart of a king and he turns it and he does something in their lives. And so here we recognize that he's a God like any other, no other God. And we also recognize that he is a God that on one day every nation, every tongue and every knee will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That everybody will recognize that. That one day we will all be side by side and we'll be worshiping him as king. David says that rebellious group that's against him, he recognizes that there's going to be a day that they will put their knees together side by side and they will recognize this is King Jesus. This is King Lord. That whatever's going on in my life does not matter. When Jesus arrives, everything stops and he gets worshiped. And so then we can come to him boldly, specifically call upon God to act in a manner that fits his character and resolves your complaint. God, I want you to work according to your will. God, I want you to work according to your character. I'm not asking you to do anything that's against your nature, but I know that you are good, and I know you're just, and I know that you're caring, and so I'm asking you to work. I come boldly, Hebrews 4:16, before the throne of grace, and I obtain mercy, and I find grace. Verse number 2, preserve my soul. Keep me, O Lord, preserve me. Risa Canfield, Robert's mom, said that God saved her heart, but he also saved her mind. The word of God does that. You ever feel like you're going crazy? Yeah, that's the prayer. God, preserve me. God, preserve me. Save me from myself. That I'm going to self-destruct. God, if you do not intervene in my life, I am going to self-destruct. I am going to implode. That is that prayer of preservation. And say, God, keep me. Not just physical harm that David was facing, but David's saying, don't turn me into the person that throws javelins like King Saul. Don't turn me into a person that is doing all these things I'm complaining about. Preserve me. Keep me, as I said before, holy. Keep me, Lord, as one that cries out before you daily. Keep me as somebody that knows that you are good. Keep me as somebody that is poor and needy. And so preserve me. David knew what it was like to call upon God as a refuge. Psalm 8:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and a horn of my salvation, my high tower. Those are all prayers that say, God, preserve me. Build a hedge of protection around my life. I need you to bring me back to center of knowing what is right and what is wrong and trusting you. So keep me, O Lord. That's a bold request. Keep me, Lord. Next is, be gracious to me. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. God, I need your grace upon my life. I need your help. I need you to give me in full abundance your grace upon my life, Lord. I'm asking you to forgive me in the ways that I'm handling myself. God, forgive me of my sins in the way that I'm living. God, forgive me my natural, my response to my heart, and be merciful unto me. Show me grace. You ever speak that way to your husband or your wife? It's a really good way to talk to somebody, right? There's not a whole lot they can do. I need grace, all right? Some years ago, Selah had a bottle of ketchup, and she was pouring it on her plate, and the bottle opened up, and it just all went out everywhere. And she just looked at us and went, I made a mistake, all right? And so what are you going to do with a little five-year-old at dinner when she says, I made a mistake, right? And so when you look to your spouse and say, I need grace, I'm not arguing and telling you that I did right. I'm telling you that I know that I haven't been acting right, but I'm asking that you would preserve me, O Lord, and I'm asking that you would show me grace, Lord, because I know that I haven't always been living in a way that's pleasing to you. I know that I haven't responded every way. Would you show me grace? And what does God say to that request? Most certainly, right? Yes and amen to that. This should be our prayer. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Maybe you don't fit with verse number 14. Maybe you don't know a rebellious group and all the things that David said. Let me tell you that every one of you is enemy of the state, number one on the devil's list. He is looking for a chance. He's looking for an occasion. And so you pray to God and say, God, preserve me. Be gracious to me. Jude 24 and 25. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling, to present your faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. God, I just keep falling down and I keep making a mess, but you have the ability to take me and to preserve me and to present me flawlessly and with exceeding joy at glory. He can do that. You're not so big a mess that he can't help you. You know, he can. God will help you, and we cry out to him. Help my heart do what I know that it should do, which is rejoice. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. It's saying, God, my heart's broken. I know that I'm supposed to be rejoicing in you, and all things I should rejoice, as you tell me. I want to do that. I want to rejoice. The soul of your servant wants to rejoice, but it's broken. And God, I just lift this up to you and say, God, fix me so that I can rejoice again. I want to rejoice, but I've lost my ability to rejoice. And, oh, Lord, I lift up my soul unto you. God commands us to have that kind of joy in him. Psalm 32:11, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice. It's a command. We don't get another option. We don't get to say, no, I'm just that kind of person. I'm just naturally not a very happy person. No, you weren't naturally a happy person, but Jesus Christ found you and he redeemed you and he commanded you to be glad. Now, I'm not telling you to be Nate Wilkerson type of glad. That's something you need to glad. And you don't have to smile all the time like this couple over here, the Broyles, all right? That's a Brazilian thing, all right? You don't have to, gladness doesn't have to look like that. But you have to have a gladness in your heart if the position of your heart is where it should be. No excuses, men. No excuses. You don't get to say it's your temperament. You can't just say it's just the way I was made. It's just the result of the stress you have. No excuses, all right? As long as the tomb is empty, every one of you in here have plenty of reason to be glad. And if it's not, take your soul and lift it up to the Lord and say, God, fix this. I broke it, all right? Just like my kids. I broke it again, Dad. I need more batteries, Dad. All right? Always, nonstop. Take it and say, God, I need this. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And sometimes we have to say that to our heart. We speak to ourselves, not in the crazy way, but in a way the Bible would command. And we'd say, rejoice. You tell your heart. And your heart doesn't start beating. And you tell it again, rejoice, you know. And then you tell it again. And the heart says, why should I rejoice? And then you tell it why you should rejoice. And it says, I don't feel like I should now. And you say, right now is it always. And then you say, rejoice in the Lord. Then teach me, Psalm 86:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Teach me, O Lord. Knowing the truth is not the end of God's plan for everything you learn about him. He wants you to see the truth come alive in you, in your priorities, in your relationship, in your heart. God, teach me how to walk. God, teach me how to live out this life. A promise is made. God, teach me thy way, O Lord. And what is the promise? I will walk in thy truth. Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. If you tell God, God, if you will teach me what to do, God, if you will show me the wisdom, if you will tell me how to respond, I promise you, I will do it. That's the position of a heart of lament, saying, God, my life is in your hands. Teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in truth. James says that a man that must ask for wisdom in God for faith, not doubting, or he is double-minded or unstable in all of his ways. That's what it says at the second part of verse 11. Unite my heart to fear thy name. God, would you hold me together? When we say we're falling apart, what we're really saying is part of me standing here knowing what truth is, and I want to stand with it, but another part of me is just drifting away because I'm prone to wonder, and the inertia of this life is pulling me, so I feel unstable, and I don't know where I'm going to go. And so you cry out to God and say, God, unite my heart to fear thy name. Put me back together, Lord. Hold me together. Strengthen me. Verse 16. Oh, turn me and I have mercy. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thy handmaid. Saying, I'm a servant. My mother was a servant unto you. And you wonder, where was David's mom a handmaid? Handmaid unto the Lord. That she was a servant to him. Help me by reminding me of your presence in this situation. Verse 17, show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast hope in me and comfort me. A token for good, not prove your love, but God, would you help me see? I had a hard time with this one, Brother Steve, because I first read it and I thought, I'm not supposed to be telling God to prove himself to me. He is good. He doesn't have to do anything. I don't have to lay out a fleece and say, God, if you make my account tomorrow all in with sevens, then I know you're good, right? I'm not doing that with him, but I'm saying, God, help me identify the things in my life that you're doing. Answer to a prayer is a sign of good. Verse number one, bow thy ear and hear me. God, you heard me the day when I prayed. I'm taking that as a token of good. Preserve my character, Lord. Keep me, Lord. Preserve me. I'm taking that as a token for good. Deliverance from trouble, Lord. Your servant trusts in you. Joy in the surrender life. God, I'm able to rejoice the day in all my troubles, and I'm taking that as a token for good. A sense of forgiveness is a sign of forgiveness. God, I've asked for grace, and you've given it to me. Confidence is a sign for good in our lives. God, I trust that I can move forward. Knowing and declare the greatness of God and seeing that in verses 7 and 8 and saying, God, you're a God that every knee will bow down to. I see you, and I know that you are good. When proud and violent men as enemies come, Lord, I'm going to take that as a sign for good, too. Because, God, I know that this world is going to hate me because they hate you. So even what the enemy meant for good, I'm going to take as a token for good because I'm standing with you and in truth. Another understanding of this expression would be to put your mark of goodness on me so that all can see that I'm yours and you will deliver me. The imagery of a servant being marked. God, mark me in such a way that I recognize that I belong completely to you and that I'm not going to just react in a negative way. But God, mark me, show me as a token for good. And then I choose to trust, affirm God's worthiness to be trusted. I'm going to read some verses to you. I'm going to encourage you to trust in the Lord. And then I'm going to ask the piano player to come. I'm going to give you a moment. I'm going to pray. I hope you would take this psalm and just look at it. Praying that as you went through this psalm, God said, right there is where you need to spend a moment. And you would pray to him and you'd say, God, give me strength. God, preserve me. But let me encourage you to keep your trust in him. Affirm God's worthiness to be trusted and commit to praising him. Psalm 86:8. Among the gods, there is none like unto thee. God, I trust you. Psalm 86:12. With all my heart, I will praise thee, O Lord, with all my heart. Lord, you're worthy of everything. Psalm 86:13. For great is thy mercy towards me. God, you are not short on your goodness towards me. Psalm 86:15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious and long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. The thing that I've been looking for, you have in abundance. God, and I can trust you. Psalm 86:17, show me a token for good, that thou which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast hope in me and comforted me. God, you have helped me, but more specifically than you helped me, hoping is that falling off a cliff and somebody grabbing a hold of you, somebody restraining you, somebody taking you as you would with a kid when they're just emotionally a mess and wrapping your arms around you and holding until they hear your heartbeat and then their heartbeat and then they would calm down, that grabbing a hold and saying, God, would you help me? Would you grab a hold of my life right now, Lord? Because if you don't grab a hold of this, if you don't take my soul, Lord, if you don't make me glad, then I am going to be completely fallen apart. So would you unite me in fear for your name? So that's my prayer for you tonight. Would you leave here tonight glad in what he has done? Would you take your complaint to him? Would you say it to him in no short amount of terms, in literal terms, God, this is what is on my heart. Would you pray back to him this psalm? So as the piano player comes and I pray for you here, and as we leave here tonight, I pray that whatever is in your heart, that you would allow God to make you whole, that you would allow him to unite your heart tonight and find the joy that is available only after we have been to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight for my brothers and sisters, Lord, who, as they pray this prayer back to you, Lord, I bow my knee to you tonight, Lord. And I'm so thankful that you would hear me. Lord, I need strength. I need you to preserve me. I need you to keep me. Lord, I need you to hold me together. Lord, you know the enemy stands at the door and I want to respond, but I am going to trust in you. And Lord, if you would teach me your ways, Lord, I will follow them with all of my heart. Lord, give me strength. Lord, make us a token of your goodness in this world. Lord, do not make us bitter, but make us people that exemplify your love. Lord, you are so full of compassion, and we love you so very much.